Folder 87, November to December 1980. 87-1, November 30th, 1980. I happened to read the EB article on messianic movements and am simply in shock. Everything revealed to me vis-a-vis 374 and the AI voice. It is Christian covert messianic movement. It is, look, there is an invisible Christian messianic movement or group or organization, what I used to call the secret underground Christians. My experience in 374, based on 274, with seeing Valis and all my dreams and the AI voice, e.g., the empire never died, anyhow. There are five kingdoms or empires, yes, empires, Assyrian, Persian, Greek, Roman, and the next, the fifth, will be Christ's. This is chiliastic, millennialist thinking, as opposed to Augustine. It has to do with movements breaking out later on, starting with, yes, you guessed it, Joachim Del Fiore. This is incredible. I am in shock. The entire edifice of secret messianic movements was supernaturally disclosed to me, or else by fantastic technology. And it's all in Valis. And, get this, the EB article on messianic movements talks about being connected with the Enlightenment. The second signal, cryptic information, the two-word cipher in tears, and the Acts material, and the, oh God, the dream material in tears, messianic chiliasm. There is a secret organization fighting the BIP. More, the kingdom is here, secretly, I saw it, and Valis is Christ or God. I am pitted against all establishment Christianity, which takes its cue from Augustine, that the present order will endure, the EB. The granting of toleration to Christianity by the Roman Emperor Constantine, and its becoming the religion of the Roman Empire, heralded a development in which the Church became the ally of the present order rather than the harbinger of its passing away. There you have it. As far as the struggle with evil in this world is concerned, Augustine surrendered and abandoned the field. No imminent supernatural intervention in history was expected. Augustine taught what has been referred to as realized eschatology. For him, the battle has already been fought on the spiritual ground that really mattered. He rejected as carnal any expectations of a renewed and purified world that the believers could expect to enjoy. Augustine's allegorical millennialism became the official doctrine of the Church, and apocalypticism went underground. And I have it all there in Valis. I have it. Why VR deals with Judaism. Emphasis on the expected second coming introduced an element of messianic unrest in addition to questioning the validity of the present order. It was soon repudiated by the Church as unspiritual, since it envisaged a messianic kingdom upon earth, rather in the manner of the Jews, instead of a heavenly kingdom. Rather in the manner of the Jews, hence VR based on what the AI voice said, spoke of, he has been transplanted and is alive, as Yahweh, not Christ. The heretical element, though not inherent in millenarianism as such, resided in the tendency of radical religious or social criticism, to use chiliast messianic terminology, when such criticism propagated the notion that the present rulers and even the very forms of church and state would be superseded by a perfect order. This is just incredible, because 2374 constitutes proof that some secret underground chiliastic messianic movement exists, and Christ, or Yahweh, is the head of it. Therefore, it possesses either supernatural powers or advanced technology. I don't know which. This first shows up in tears. It has to do with the future, so it may indeed be technology. It's all there in Valis. It first showed up in tears. So I'm not just a Christian. I'm a revolutionary, chiliastic, messianic, millennialist, part of a secret underground group led by either the cosmic Christ or God, and possessing either supernatural or advanced technological means. We are pitted against the entire world order, both church and state, vide VR, and it is on the Jewish model, although Christian. I had better burn my exegesis, because this has to do with revolution, radical social reform. It has some kind of relationship to Marxism, to socialism, to the overthrow of governments, and the establishing of a new world order. Again, let me think back to Nixon and his downfall. Oh dear, this secret group, with its technology, acted in 1974. It's all true. 8717. Today I've tried to work on my exegesis, as I've been doing for 6.5 years. I can't do it. Why not? Because the love and personality that God showed me on 11-17-80 make any intellectual understanding seem unimportant, pale and weak and dry and faded. Never have I known anything like that love. And the personality, it was as distinct as any human personality. And this does not even consider the infinite bliss I felt. He answered all my questions anyhow. I have no more questions. To know God and God's love, and to understand how our suffering, our life here, will be justified, his gentle reproach. Would you think I, in my theodicy, would not make it up to you, make it up so that this suffering here would seem, be, paltry in comparison? And then he let me experience a little of the bliss to come. So the bliss did 3 things. It explained why he would let us suffer here, how it would be justified. This has always been my main theological, philosophical question. Because it was infinite bliss, it proved he was God. Because I see this as proof, only God can provide infinite bliss. It made me happy intrinsically. But the love outshone the bliss. Perhaps it gave rise to the bliss. I have never known such love. Human personality is imaged upon his personality, I realize. This is why, although it was infinite, it was like an infinite augmentation of such love, as I have in fact known in life. But it was beauty in the form of love. But it was more intimate, as well as more intense. It pulsated like maybe a light. And he knew me, and yet still he loved me. Of one thing there is no doubt. This was the Judeo-Christian view concept of God, transcendent, with the life to come, the afterlife, as a reward. And this life here, an ordeal, but one justified by the afterlife. And God of love bestowing infinite eternal bliss. Note: a lot of Dick's cosmology boils down to loving and being loved, something that was difficult for him throughout his life, and especially his 5 marriages. Dick's writing often depicts his own struggle to open up and make himself vulnerable to the people around him. In his 1975 essay, Man, Android, and Machine, he writes, "A human being without the proper empathy or feeling is the same as an android built so as to lack it, either by design or mistake. He stands detached, a spectator, acting out by his indifference, John Donne's theorem that no man is an island, but giving that theorem a twist. That which is a mental and a moral island is not a man." Given how fully the exegesis is committed to a God who cares, I suspect that some of Dick's obsessional speculation may have been a form of therapy, a way of working through his problems, of assisting himself in his quest to become a better person and connect with others. Part of this transformation involved altering the way he saw the world, no longer an adversarial place that might squash his hopes and dreams. It becomes a divinely infused garden, a safe place for him to share his fragile self with the world. D.G. End note. And God, with distinct personality, which is not really the same thing as mere consciousness. Pantheism was by what he said ruled out. And he gave me to understand that much as I had already figured out. I had experienced only traces of him here in this world. He is in his transcendence much more, infinitely more. Although he did not say it, I got the impression that, well, I was going to say, we are created here. But I really don't know. But he did designate our lives here as an ordeal, but a little ordeal. In fact, so paltry in comparison to what is to come that all my theorizing about reality is of little significance because this life here is of such little stature in comparison with what is to come. What is epistemology when infinities of infinities lie ahead of us? Even a tiny knowledge about infinity and eternity is more than a lot of knowledge about this finite world. A point I have totally missed. All my speculations have been about world, so world has me fast. It has been a trap. But on the other hand, as I have noted, I was reeling from encountering the raw fact, proof, of God's existence and effort exerted on world. I was inferring God by the perturbation he caused in world, as the AI voice pointed out. Now I have direct knowledge of God. World no longer now seems to me to be of any importance. I just realized a common element I had missed that links the theophany of 374 to 111780. In both cases, my sense of evil, oppression, and suffering was undermined drastically by an awareness of divine goodness, love, wisdom, and power. My Charles Platt interview, removed as if by divine fiat. There is a distinct continuity. I have it. Vallis studies reason invading the irrational and arbitrary. This is Vallis invading. The rational, reason, logic, justice, i.e. Vallis, is higher than the irrational, Ananke. This is all a Greek view, Greek and Roman. This is as far as my revelation had reached in 2374. The dialectical combat between the irrational and the rational, Ananke and Nous, which is how I specifically and correctly express the combat in Vallis. But there is even one higher level above reason, Agape, which doesn't show up in Vallis, i.e. in 2374. Reason subdues the irrational, justice, Torah subdues chaos, order subdues chaos, but now, as of 111780, I encounter something even higher. Jesus is God, Abba, whose essence is love that moves the sun and the other stars. This agape is the highest, not higher, principle. It is Christian love above Stoic reason. It is bliss, infinity, and love, and transcendent. It leaves the world order, epistemology, and metaphysics, and philosophy, and science behind below. This is not nous. It is above nous. It is like us. Greek culture didn't give rise to this idea. It gave rise to the idea of logos or nous. Hebrew culture didn't give rise to it. It, Hebrew culture, gave rise to the idea of Torah, the will or law of God, Spinoza. Where did it come from then? This equating God with agape, Paul's letters? Why, it was revealed by Jesus. Even Buddhism and Zoroastrianism lack it. The wise mind, not the loving Father. I see no precedent for this revelation by Jesus. We even today, 2,000 years later, have little understanding of this total accepting loving kindness, because of which God adopts us as his sons and heirs. I do deal with it at the end of tears, but on 111780, I experienced it. Words can't describe it, whereas words can describe logic and reason and justice. And I have been adopted. 8737. One of my greatest realizations about him in 111780 is that rather than just willing, he also allows, in contrast to Spinoza, his will is law. Everything that exists, he either wills or allows. The magnitude of the freedom expressed by this, he allows, was a totally new conceptual experience to me. God's will was something I understood. In fact, I had always viewed everything as due to His will. I had therefore no notion of human free will. In this I saw God and reality as Spinoza did. He allows independent being, which explains perhaps evil and disorder, and that which is futile and wasteful, perverse and senseless. He shows infinite toleration due to His love and kindness. Nonetheless, this is not all. He also decrees, this is His will, a tension is created by His will and His permission, the result of which is an unfathomable mystery to a finite creature's intelligence. But God knows that every creature will within this mysterious, bimodular reality, God's will and God's permission, find his way voluntarily back to God, however long and inefficient the path. This is totally bountiful. The parameters are infinity itself. 8773, December 8th, 1980. Thus, there is absolutely no problem in reconciling 2374 with 111780. The first had to do with world and a perturbation in the reality field. The second had to do with a transcendent God who is a loving Father with personality, His essence love, capable of conferring infinite bliss. He is infinite along all axes. This is more than His will. But from a practical standpoint in terms of world and human history, His will is everything, for instance. It saved my life, vis-a-vis the Xerox missive.